I love football. And I don't know if this year I'm going to be able to watch it as much as I want to. It depends on how much of the woke, just mindset is going on. But anyway, I have really enjoyed so far watching the minicamp on NFL Network. And here's what always just amazes me. They talk to the coaches about how they are correcting flaws in many of their players, many times the quarterback. And when they say flaw, it sounds like something huge. But they'll say, no, it's the way he plants his back foot to the left. Or no, it's how he doesn't rotate his hip enough. Or no, it's how he drops his shoulder. Tiny little things. And guess what? Many times in our lives, it's not the blatant sin that messes us up, but rather that little tiny thing that cripples us. Guess what, men? As followers of Christ, we are professionals. And many times, it's the little things that cripple us in our Christian walk. And that's where we're going today. Wake the faith up, Slayer. Hope you're having a great day. Hey, just jump right to revolution4fathers.com. That's the number four, revolution4fathers.com. I've been kind of promoting our swag from the TDA, but you've got to check out the site. It's got a ton of America, you know, red, white, and blue, manly stuff. I love the hoodie that says integrity. Then they've got shirts there, you know, support the blue. Just great, great stuff to show your pride for America. And right now, since our Olympic athletes aren't showing their pride for our country, maybe we should. Okay, I won't go there, but I just did. Hey, let's jump into today's topic. It's going to be short, quick, and a punch to the face, but I think you'll get something out of it. As I was saying at the beginning, there are times in our lives where it's not that blatant sin that messes us up, but rather certain things that cripple us. We don't realize it, but, you know, we limp in certain areas of our life. We're stunted in others. And there are three things that kind of cause us as men to be crippled: disappointment, resentment, fear of man. So why or how do these things happen? Well, the truth is this, and listen, because it's deep. I mean, it's deep, but it gives you something to think on all day. Only God can create. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is God. He's the only one who can create. And by create, I mean something out of nothing. And because Satan can't create, what does he do? Well, he must mimic, he must copy, and then he will take what God has created and he will cripple it. And by that, I mean he distorts us, he distorts our gifts, he distorts our sins, he distorts how we see ourselves and our weaknesses and others. And many times, the deception is carried further by giving this crippling effect some type of virtuous name. This is where the real twisted works of the enemy throw us off our game. We legitimize or increase its power in our life by defining it not necessarily as a crippling defect, but as a way of life, or even as a positive in our lives. When we're angry, we say things like, well, I can't stand injustice, that's why I get so mad. No, you're just a hothead. Or we strike out at others and say, well, I tend to overprotect the ones I love. No, you're being a butthead. Here's another good one. Well, yes, I struggle with porn, but it's better than having a real-life affair. Skippy? Not in the eyes of God. But anyway, to make things worse, and can they get any worse? Oh, they can. The fear of man creates an unusual appetite in our lives for the approval of those such men. And I mean, basically, the fear of people. Our self-esteem, we want to be accepted, we want to be liked, we want to be loved, we don't want to be picked on. So you see, it's easier to accept the approval of man than to put in the hard work of accepting God and His Word, His redemptive work. We don't need, or we don't like to admit it, but it is work to serve God. And work is sometimes hard. So in the end, we have our pet sins. We don't want the world to hate us. Well, I mean, how would they ever be able to accept Jesus if they hate us? Again, we just rename it or legitimize it. Or think that, hey, what if they think we're weird or out of touch? So what we do is we rename our sins or our excuses. We walk around stunted in our Christian faith. Look, Let me put it to you as basic as I can. If you came to my house one day and you walked in and you saw all these poisonous snakes everywhere and you were like, hey, what is going on, man? There are snakes everywhere. And you saw my kids getting bit, my wife getting bit, my grandkids getting bit, and in turn, they're getting tragically sick and maybe even some of them dying. You'd call me out on it, right? I mean, I sure hope you would. You'd be like, hey, stupid, what are you doing? Why are all these poisonous snakes here? And what an idiot I would sound like. I mean, I would sound so self-deceived if I looked at you and said, well, these are not snakes. They're actually slip and slides, and they help keep mice away and rodents. So I rename the snakes slip and slides, and I make an excuse that they keep the mice away and the rodents. Look, call it what you will, but you have crippled not only you, but your family if you do the same. Oh, it's not a sin. It's this and it's that. And well, everybody struggles, and at least I don't do this, at least I don't do that. You know, my grandpa used to say, you can paint a pig whatever color you want, but in the end, it's still a pig. Don't let Satan punk you. Don't let him cripple you and you rename it to feel good or better about yourself. Just man up, call it a sin, repent, deal with it, stay accountable, and move on. This is Garth Heckman at the David Alliance. Thanks for rating the podcast, sharing the podcast, and until tomorrow, keep slaying giants.